Yes.
Hello?
Mr. President?
Yeah.
Mr. Reston? Ready?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, Scotty.
My cousin, you trouble again?
No. No, I was just in the cabinet room and I had to come out. That's why I was delayed. I'm sorry.
How are you?
Fine. Yeah. Fine. I've been out to Cleveland today and I had a good meeting and I'm talking about foreign aid right at the moment. We got every Republican.
To me.
Every Republican going against us to try to make a go of this passman to cut the aid bill $500 million. And I asked less this year than Eisenhower asked a single one of his 8 years. Isn't that responsibility?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's funny. They've lost their way, these guys. They've got a death wish in that party, I think.
Well, this afternoon, every damn one of them want to give the women back the cosmetics and cheap demagoguery on excise taxes. And we just beat them 207 to 185, voting as a party. Tomorrow they don't want you to have the debt limit. And it's pure demagoguery, nothing you could do about it. You've got to have the debt limit. But every one of them has a man. They say we won't get one Republican vote. Okay. You talk about blind opposition.
Yeah. After all you did to help Eisenhower.
I just told a group in here that Nolan voted against Eisenhower in the appropriation bill, and I cast the last vote and the deciding vote to report his bill just as he asked it. And I ask less this year for foreign aid than Eisenhower asked any single year he's there. Kennedy asked 4.9 last year, and I cut it 3.5, $1.4 billion. And even Clay, Eisenhower's buddy, reduced it to 4.5. He said we needed 4.5. I come along 3.5, $1 billion under Clay.
Well, goofy world. I just wanted to make sure in this sensitive relationship that I didn't write anything here that was going to cause you trouble or Attorney General or Boston Lodge. And I've talked to Mac since the last 10 minutes. And the story, he says that the best way to word this is to say, first of all, that the Attorney General sent you a note saying he would be willing to volunteer to serve in Saigon in any capacity you wanted him to. And that when you got that note, you called him up and you told him that you would not send him there.
I told him under no circumstances would I consider the thought for a moment, period. Just that definite. And what he says about Attorney General is exactly correct. I don't want you to quote it because it's private correspondence, but he says, I just wanted to make, dear Mr. President, I just wanted to make sure you understood that if you wish me to go to Vietnam in any capacity, I would be glad to do so. Now, we sent Rusk out there and we'd sent McNamara out there, and there's a lot of talk about the Lodge might come back from Oregon and all this kind of stuff. And he'd be home any day, and half a dozen of them indicated a willingness to do it, and he did. And I never let it get off the ground. The moment I received it, opened it, read it, I picked up the phone calling, period. That's all there was to it. And it never been given a moment's thought.
Well, I think it's a very perceptive. I hadn't thought of the family angle, but it's a goofy.
Well, without the family, if he is single, I wouldn't send him. If he, and if his name was Brown, I wouldn't. We've got all these problems here with civil rights. We've got he's been heading this division. There's talk of his running for office for other things. There's a good deal of speculation about our relationship, and they're not ever going to catch me banishing somebody to the aisle.
It would be said that you were sending him to Siberia to get rid of him.
I didn't let him say it a second. When I read your column this morning, I just wish God, I wish Scotty'd call me, because I'll just tell him all the truth and what he can publish. And you can publish that he said to me and that he would be glad to help out in any capacity. He didn't say Westmoreland's job or Lodge's job. He said any capacity. And I said, I would not consider it for a moment, period. Thank you very, very much. I appreciate your offer and your loyalty, but I wouldn't think of it, period. So I don't want that to get started. And I just...
I got the impression, however, that lately you have been talking to him more.
I've been talking to him ever since I came here. All the time. There's never been a month since I've been in Washington. I haven't seen more of him than I have of almost any cabinet officer. And since I've been president, with the exception of Rusk and McNamara, whose duties require more of it, there's never been anything the thing we didn't see each other.
I think I got it.